Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sick makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Does anybody
Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is the Tokens Radio Show. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
It's good to be back in the studio.
It is.
Yes, yes.
And it's nice to have rain, I have to admit. It's a little cold,
yeah,
but the rain is welcomed.
How much so? I'd just love to see the lake get filled up this year. That
yeah,
would be nice. So, if you'd like to connect with some of our previous shows, you can find the archive shows at tokensradioshow.com. Or find us on Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. That's at Tokens Radio Show. And, of course, you can come right here to KCNR1460.com. And you can look at all the archive shows for
yes,
everything that's played here on KCNR.
And it'll be there for a long, long
yes,
time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to call in and chat with us and speak with our lovely producer, Liam. Liam, by the way, how you doing, guy?
I'm good.
Yeah,
nice.
Good
hanging
you
out, living life.
Yeah, living life.
Life.
Yeah. Before we move on, I was just reading his shirt. What are Mom Jeans?
Mom Jeans is a band, actually. I got to see them live.
Oh!
They're amazing. They're from Berkeley, but they used to tour up through Reading before they were massive.
Okay. Oh,
so
how
they
cool
would do
is
shows
that
here. Yeah, no, I mean, they're amazing.
What kind of music?
It's called Midwest Emo. It's, I can explain it to you. It's basically open tunings on guitars and, like, hammer-ons. It's really all it is.
Huh.
But it's fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks for letting me know, because I had a lot of different pictures
you
in
were,
my head
like,
what Mom Jeans are.
They were the definition, our definition of Mom Jeans.
No, I was thinking stretchy jeans, you know?
Stretchy
know
jeans.
Or whatever.
Or the ones that are way up underneath, you know, the breast line.
Right, yeah. High waters?
High waters, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and that number here, if you'd like to call in, is 530-605-4567. And I believe the chat room is open. Is that
it
operating
is
today?
It is working.
Yeah, that's at KCNR1460.com. Let's see.
Oh, what's the market at?
Well, the market right now is Bitcoin is at $17,098. Ethereum's at $12.77. XRP is at 39 cents. And XLM Stellar Lumens is at 8 cents. Luke Gibson of Gibson Appraisal. Okay, let's try that one again. Rewind.
One, two, three.
Luke Gibson of Gibson Appraisal sponsors this portion of the show. In a changing real estate market, you can't take a chance of getting the wrong valuation. Serving Shasta, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties, for prompt and accurate appraisals, contact Luke at 530-221-0154. That's 530-221-0154.
And I'm going to surprise you. Give him a call because, you know, the market's probably, the values are going to be changing here in the real estate market, as
they
we know.
Have already, yeah. They're,
yeah,
already
they're starting to.
Yeah.
And so you're going to want a true evaluation of your home, whether if you're buying or selling, and that. So
right.
You want somebody you can trust.
Yes. And I would be willing to bet that he's probably a little easier to get a hold of nowadays, too.
That could be.
I think everybody's a little easier to get a hold of nowadays.
So, anyway, give him a call.
Yeah.
And even if you have some questions, I'm sure he'd be able to help you out with that.
And thank you, Luke, for sponsoring the show. We really appreciate it. So, what's in crypto speak?
You've got to pick a card for me.
Let's
see what we get this week.
Right.
I'm kind of liking these cards.
Be a unique beast. There you go.
Oh, be a unique beast. Oh, boy. We could cover a lot of territory with that. So, be a unique beast. Our mission is to orange pill individuals like yourself from all over the world. We are driven by curiosity, empowered by Bitcoiners. CoinBeast is a fun and engaging place to learn about Bitcoin. You have to give me a little bit. The writing on these aren't
really
real big,
small, yep.
And they kind of run together here. So.
Is that CoinBeast.com? I'm going to look it up while you're...
It is. It is CoinBeast.com. Macro and financial education from blogs, reviews, and virtual events to one-on-one discussions with pros. We got it all. Your learning needs covered. Don't forget to check out our shop so you can pick up some Bitcoin swag for your family and friends. We love to learn. We love to share. We love Bitcoin.
You know, it's interesting that you brought, well, that card got chosen is looking here on the website. It's the first time I've ever been there. It looks like a good website. It's a lot of great information. Some looks like good blog post about understanding Bitcoin. So, yeah, I think that's something after the show I'm going to have to go through.
That may be a good resource to check out.
Excellent. I'm glad that card got chosen. Yeah. Well.
Where do we begin?
Now, if you haven't heard about Sam Bankman-Fried or the FTX, you know, contagion, I don't know where you've been, because that's been all over the news cycle for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, even mainstream media. Yes. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yes. So we're going to just kind of bring you up to date to where things have been and where they're at. And it does look like it's starting to make its way out of being, you know, the primary focus of the news cycle. I mean, when it makes mainstream media like it has, it's quite significant.
They've got their own little spin to it a little bit, maybe not quite what it is. So we're going to be going over a little bit of that. But, yes, you are right. At least they're talking about it. You know, most of the stuff when it comes to Bitcoin or whatever, you may get a little blurb on the ticker tape, you know, on mainstream media. But other than that, you usually don't see a whole lot on Bitcoins or crypto or anything like that. So for them to actually have a story on it is way different.
Well, the significance to the financial markets, that's why they're reporting on it. They have to. I mean, this is as big as Lehman from 2008. We just don't know how far and wide the contagion has spread. I mean, and we'll talk about this here shortly, but it has even implicated a very small bank called Farmington Bank.
Bank, Washington. I talked about that earlier today. Yes, it's like, we'll touch upon that.
So the tentacles of FTX runs far and wide. So we're just going to run through a bunch of headlines. There are so many articles to go through. When Linda and I were going through all of this during our preparation a couple days ago, we're going, oh my gosh, there's so much here. We're just going to hit the headlines. And if you want to go ahead and research more of this on your own, we'll give you the sources.
Yeah, like you say, a couple days ago when we're looking at it, we're going, oh yeah, this is good. And there's some over here and some over there. And then we meet up or talk Sunday morning or text or whatever and go, oh my God. It's blown up. There's more. There's so much more. Where do we begin?
Exactly. Well, there was an interview that Sam Bankman-Fried had, and just the headlines is that I've had a bad month, SBF claims. He didn't knowingly commingle funds, and he blames his girlfriend's fund and accounting mistakes.
It was just an accounting mistake. Yes. But like most criminals, I have to say, there's no honor among them. He threw the girlfriend under the bus real quick.
Mind you, that the girlfriend, who was the CEO of Alameda Research, which is a sister company of FTX, she was the former CEO and had no formal training whatsoever in the financial space. And here she's running a large company and making all of these financial moves and I think that they knew exactly what they were doing, but that is just my
he
opinion.
Says, but he wasn't running Alameda.
No. You know, he was running FTX, and they were,
And I was really nervous about being involved in anything, so I don't know anything.
They had a very slight, you know, like very thin membrane of of separation between the two companies.
Right.
So, So, that was no good.
And he doesn't think he should be prosecuted, you know, because he didn't do anything criminal at all.
Yeah.
He was just trying to help people.
Yeah. Well, we know who he was really trying to help.
Yes, we do, because if you follow the tracks in the snow, so to speak, they go to Ukraine and then it comes back to...
Yeah.
Let's see, the Democratic Party, the DNC.
90-some-odd% of that money that was laundered. So, you know, and then, by the way, the first article referenced her headline was from Zero Hedge, and this next one, also by Tyler Durden of Zero Hedge, is that legal professionals astonished. Are they really astonished? As Sam Bankman-Fried admits failures and apologizes 12 times in an interview.
So if you apologize enough, does that make it go away?
It just means you're bad? How guilty you are.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was asked to, SBF was asked to answer a number of questions surrounding the downfall of the defunct exchange, and even suggested that some of his statements could be used to incriminate him in legal proceedings. And this is what the legal experts are saying. And I would tend to agree with that, that a lot of what he was has said publicly can be and should be used against him. However, this is like the fox in the hen house situation. You have Maxine Waters that's in charge of the oversight committee for this. And she came out publicly to say, I am so happy with
that
him.
You came and was truthful to the people.
Yes.
And exposed it all out there. And I praise you.
People got wrecked in the crypto market because of this. Oh, we're so proud of you, SBF, and thank you for donating to our campaigns. It's disgusting
how much this
kid got away with.
Yeah.
And how well-connected his parents are.
And like I said earlier, you know, nobody questioned him.
Yeah.
He was doing all this stuff with all this money, and nobody investigated him? Nobody checked nothing out? Really? Wow.
Even Scaramucci's business, Silvergate, I'm so surprised. Now, he came out and said that he did his due diligence, but had admitted that, well, maybe, you know, SBF is such a likable guy that maybe I should have scrutinized him a little bit more.
Yeah, think? And then he goes on to say, you know, I didn't lie. I'm not aware of any time that I lied.
Mm.
Well, I guess if you're deceiving somebody or not telling the whole truth, that's not a lie.
Do narcissists think that they lie?
Well, of course not.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I mean,
he was the wonder kid. You know, he was, you know.
Yeah, he was the wonder kid, all right.
Yes, I'd say that he was so wonderful that he far exceeded, the Madoff Ponzi scheme.
Oh, yes.
So Decrypt put out a couple of good articles, and this headline is, the DOJ watchdog seeks independent examiner of FTX collapse. You say it's not so. Is this something that maybe they should have done ahead of time and had a DOJ watchdog take a look at all of their operations and what was going on and all the donations that were being made and all of the money going to Ukraine and somehow making it back?
Well,
to
you would think, but if you look at it logically and know that the DOJ is kind of in the same bed and they're very corrupt, we're finding out more and more coming out. No. Everything's good. There's no problem here, you know?
So on, let's see, it looked as though on the 1st of December, The U.S. Office of Trustee within the Department of Justice filed a motion in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Delaware requesting the appointment of an independent examiner to look into the cryptocurrency exchange's collapse and subsequent bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Like the bankruptcy cases of Lehman, Washington Mutual Bank, ooh, those are names coming back up, New Century Financial before them, these cases are exactly the kind of cases that require the appointment of an independent fiduciary to investigate and report on the debtor's extraordinary collapse. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
And let's see, this includes probably, you know, parties include the Bahamas, the Securities Commission, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the Department of Justice.
Well, and it seems as though, I'm glad you brought up the Bahamas, because it seems as though there was some allegiance to Bankman-Fried's home country, which is the Bahamas.
Right.
And, you know, why he ran there and why the Bahamian government had apparently had asked the transfer of funds to have occurred. And it was to protect their interest. There was a little bit coming out about that.
Yeah, and you would have thought people would have wondered or looked a little bit when he was buying all those that nice little house down there.
So then we go on and decrypt this reporting a little bit more about this. And this is going back to the Terra company co-founder, Do Kwon. And remember Terra? Terra Luna?
Terra Luna,
okay,
yes.
And how that stablecoin wrecked the market earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, FTX was very exposed in that market as well. And countries have been looking for Do Kwon for quite some time. And so this article is referring to the notion that Sam Bankman-Fried is also going to be wanted by the South Korean authorities, too. So the pressure is going to ramp up. It's just whether he's going to ever see jail or not is hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell at this point, but definitely. And there's going to be a lot more to this story as far as those pieces go, what more is involvement we have. And then if we go on, we got, you know, we have this Three Arrows founders have 1 week to provide key financial documents.
In the Singapore court. There we go. Yes. So this has worldwide implications. This is a very serious, serious situation. I mean, it's almost laughable, but there are a lot of people that got wrecked and they're financially ruined. Right.
Right.
Now.
And all Sam can say is, I'm so sorry.
Now, Three Arrows took a $200 million blow when Terra went down. So, and as rumors begin to circulate about the hedge fund, crypto exchanges BitMEX, FTX, they are implicated in all of this. This is what's giving more attention to the FTX contagion, if you, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and it may actually bring in more people. You know, it's saying like the more crypto exchanges, BitMEX, you know, and all of them.
Yes.
Liquidating their stuff.
And let's see, there's also a blurb here that SBF colluded to trade against clients. Ooh, not good. Not good at all.
Yes.
Well, let's see.
What else?
And then you've got the CFTC chair. Crypto potentially a threat to national security after the FTX crash. Say it's not so.
Right.
So the Commodities Futures Trading Commission Chair, Rostin Benham, had made the statement that now they want to backpedal and quickly try to get regulation in this space as quickly as possible.
Well, you know, regulation can be good, but again, we're going back to who's making the regulation and on what piece are we regulating of the space.
And they're pointing towards, you know, digital assets being used by criminals, please. Please.
Right. Everybody that uses the crypto space is criminal.
Yeah.
No, there's only a few.
Yeah, the problem with FTX's downfall was due to the exchange using customers' money without them knowing to make bets through Alameda Research and the donations that they were making. So
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can blame it on criminals using digital assets all that they want. We know better.
Right. And so moving along, BlockFi owes $1 billion to just three of its largest creditors.
Now, BlockFi, I'm glad you brought that up, was a big player a year ago. And try to get a BlockFi credit card, and you had to be kind of, you know, you had to have pristine credit, and they were very picky and choosy about who they were going to bring into their BlockFi orbit, and they had a waiting list to come on, and now they, poof, gone.
Yeah, and I think they owe quite a bit. I mean, owes 50 largest creditors $1.3 billion. That's with a B.
Yeah.
They have filed for bankruptcy, and at least $1 billion and $10 billion in assets and liabilities.
Yeah, so that's what they have in assets. So let's find out how much in assets that they can actually bring into the bankruptcy court and make some people whole. So this is...
They just owe money.
When we talk about the significance this has on the overall economy, it is huge. It just seems like it's in the crypto digital asset space, but I think this is they're not going to be able to contain this very long.
No, and it doesn't just really affect the crypto space.
This is
going to affect the markets across the board.
Yes,
because of the players that are involved here. Anytime you got stuff like this going on with financial and money, which is financial, or anything like that, and you've got people declaring bankruptcy, and they owe all this money, that's a whole different thing.
Then we go on, and BlockWorks writes a pretty good article here about FTX's bankruptcy is strikingly similar to Enron's.
Yeah, imagine that.
Have we learned nothing since? Nope.
I guess not.
These things do happen over and over and over again, and it's just human nature, and unfortunately, people get caught in the middle of it. And I know we ran across many people here locally that were excited about all of these crypto projects. And, hey, you know, I can make some really quick money.
Yeah, this is a good one. Should I invest all my money in here?
Yeah, it's happened in the stock market. It's happened in other types of trading instruments, and it's happening here in crypto.
Unfortunately, you're always going to have this,
yes,
especially when you're moving from one system to another.
Yeah,
there's going to be bumps, but you don't have to fall victim to a lot of it. You just have to do your homework and look at what's going on here and pay attention. And don't think that you're just going to run out and become a millionaire. You're not going to become Elon Musk overnight. It's not going to happen.
Well, Elon didn't become Elon overnight.
Yes. Good point.
Yes.
So there you go. And then at the end here, we've got list of Democrats and Republicans staying silent on FTX. Now, I wonder why that is. I mean, I did hit on the Democratic and the DNC party earlier, you know. But there was some Republicans that were involved in this whole scam of stuff, just not to the same amount and to the same tune as what the DNC was.
Right, and they were small amounts. I mean, Mitt Romney was one of the people. John
Surprise,
Kuhn,
not.
Let's see, a gentleman from, Arizona, I believe. John Boozman from Arkansas. They returned their portions. Some of these other donors or donor recipients had donated the money that was donated to them to some other charities. So really,
right,
all they did was continue the laundering to another company or to another entity. Instead of bringing it back and sending it back to FTX and let it get filtered through the bankruptcy court, let's send it to a charity.
Yeah, let's just push it forward.
To think about that. It's like, okay, I understand why they might want to do that, but is that really, that seems more of a virtue signal than anything else. Send it back to the bankruptcy court and let's take care of the people that got wrecked in the process.
No, you can't do that. You got to send it on, make it look that way, you know. And so with that, I think it's time for us to take a break. And we're going to be picking up FTX and other things, mostly about Bitcoin on the other side. We want to give you a lot of information in regards to Bitcoin. So stay tuned for the second part of the show. We'll see you in three.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would love to have you join us for the 15th annual Christmas for the Troops. Along with KIXC-TV, we invite you to join us Friday, December 9th for food, fellowship, and package assembly at the Anderson VFW Post at 3210 West Center Street starting at 6 p.m. A suggested donation at the door provides snack foods, dinner, and helps offset the cost of shipping. You can help in advance as well. We'll be accepting donations of food, funding, and travel-sized personal care items that you can drop off at the KIXC Studios on North Market Street in Reading. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. 530-859-3176. Remember, the date is now Friday, December 9th at 6 p.m. VFW Hall in Anderson. Veterans sacrifice themselves for us. Let us show them our gratitude and thanks for your support.
Yes, tell me lies, some sweet lies.
I didn't lie. SBF says I didn't lie.
Well, I was kind of thinking of, this is kind of a twofold thing.
Right.
I was thinking about him when I kind of picked the song, but because
Christine McVie.
Yes.
Her passing.
Yes, her passing. And I'm a big Fleetwood Mac fan. Big. Yes. Huge Fleetwood Mac fan. So, anyway. All right. Well, welcome back. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. And so we are just going to move right along here. So, where we're going to pick up now is about Bitcoin. And this is kind of, this comes by Der Gigi. Yeah. And he's pretty well known as an IT professional on the internet. And he does some blogging and everything. Anyway, in his blog, he put this together in the blog about Bitcoin. And the headline is basically, is there nobody behind, air quotes, Bitcoin? So we thought we would go over some of these because there's some really good points going on, especially in seeing what's going on with FTX right now and us being, you know, Bitcoiners and not cryptocurrency so much, that we thought we would want to share with the listeners out there. And then you can make your own determination from there.
Yeah, and there's quite a bit of snark in this.
And
it's okay. We tried to avoid a lot of the snark and just come down with some bullet points here because he made some great points, and they're more or less just thoughts that that we bullet pointed here, and we'll try to get through a number of them.
Right. So one of the first things was many Bitcoiners have strong opinions when it comes to Bitcoin versus crypto. And for good reason. So, what do you think?
Well, one is a breakthrough of enormous proportions. The others are cheap imitations, copycats that have been riding the coattails of said breakthrough for so long, confusing noobs and retail investors alike. Crypto is nerds rediscovering money, printing, and pyramid schemes.
Yes, and we've talked about it many times. There is a big difference, remember here, folks, between Bitcoin and crypto.
And I think what he's trying to say here is that Bitcoin's open source. And I'm going to say, I read somewhere, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but let's say nearly 100% of all of the crypto projects out there have started in some sort of way by starting with the Bitcoin code, which you can get off of GitHub.
Right.
It's available to anybody. It's open source. So they start their projects with that basis, and they tweak it in some sort of way to try to make, quote-unquote, Bitcoin better. But none of them have been successful in doing that in any way. Most of them have failed. There are a few that are still running, you know, like Litecoin and Dash, and which are all adjustments to Bitcoin, if you will, but they're not trying to replace Bitcoin. They have different use cases. And so these other projects come out and try to tokenize everything. But what happens, and when I say this, tokenize everything within their project is by offering an initial coin offering to drive, to raise revenues for just a select group of people, usually the developers and the founders, and oftentimes that's where rug pulls happen, is that that money is eventually used up and the project goes away.
And I think you made a good point there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of those projects are taking and trying to start with Bitcoin as their foundation, so to speak.
Yes, they do.
And then build upon that, which they can't do because they don't, they're not, the ends, their use is not what Bitcoin is.
Well, and you just can't reproduce. I mean, in business, let's put it this way, one of the most complimentary things that anybody can do in business is copy another business model. But can you copy it 100%?
Percent. Yeah, that's where I'm going.
You cannot.
And Bitcoin isn't,
it has not been copied 100%.
Right. And there's no way you can do it.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. So where Litecoin and these other ones really haven't done a spinoff. Well,
they're not
Bitcoin.
Coming out and saying we're better than Bitcoin.
Right.
They have
yeah.
a different use case.
Yeah, exactly. The use case
yes.
on it. So it does make a big...
Starting with the Bitcoin code.
Right.
Yes.
So, interesting.
Yes.
You know, so that kind of clarifies
yeah,
that.
I don't think they're trying to derail the OG, Bitcoin.
No, I don't think so either. But again, like you say, to duplicate it for when you don't have all of the components to the equation to solve the problem.
Correct, which I think is a good segue to this next point. Where crypto does not compare to Bitcoin.
All right. If you want to compare Bitcoin to something else, compare it to fire, the number zero, the wheel, the printing press, or electricity.
I think that's a good point.
Yes.
And
it is that important.
And it's autopoietic. And what that means is it refers to a system capable of producing and maintaining itself by creating its own parts. So an autopoietic network is internally stable and can't go bankrupt,
right.
which is what Bitcoin does. Nobody, which is the air quotes behind, nobody is behind Bitcoin because nobody runs Bitcoin.
There is the big difference, too. Nobody's in charge.
No one's in charge.
Right. So the antidote to the corruption of money is Bitcoin.
Correct. It's an entirely new thing that's so profound, alien, and novel that most people fail to appreciate it, and I agree with that.
I do, too.
Most people know nothing about cryptography, networks, money, or open protocols. Consequently, most people are easily fooled.
Again, yes. fear of missing out, too.
Yes.
You got to put that in there.
And we've been there, too.
We have all
been there.
We can almost 100% say all us Bitcoiners have been there at one time or another.
Exactly. And that's why
we are Bitcoiners.
Back. Yes, right.
What is so revolutionary about Bitcoin? Bitcoin is absolutely scarce.
Yes, its issuance is fixed in time.
It can be stored in your head.
It could be sent at the speed of light.
Bitcoin can be verified by anyone easily and cheaply.
Every single one of these points is revolutionary in itself.
We never had a liquid asset that is absolutely scarce.
We never had a man-made currency that didn't have an issuer. Huge.
Yes. We never had a markable good that was just words. Mind-blowing. Learning 12 words by heart, and you can flee your country with your wealth intact.
Which means those are your seed words.
Right.
You can take them anywhere, and if you can bring yourself to memory of those 12 seed words in the order in which they were generated, you can go anywhere in the world and take your Bitcoin with you.
Yes, which is way different than a lot of assets.
Well, yeah, you have the transporting aspect. Try
exactly.
hauling your gold and your silver, your platinum, and
yep,
all of that
exactly.
around with you. We never had a high-velocity money without having to rely on credit.
And
to go and further emphasize the point.
For the first time in human history, we have money that is pure information. Something that stores value in its bits and bytes directly without having to rely on a trusted third party, and because it's pure information, it can be sent to anyone at the speed of light.
And unfortunately, this is the amazing feature of Bitcoin that's lost on most people. Bitcoin's not credit.
It's not an IOU.
It's not a promise. It's not relying on a counterparty.
It is not a liability.
And like gold before it, it is not backed by anything.
It is the desirable thing itself.
It is money, pure, undebasable money.
Big thing there.
Yes.
Undebasable money.
Yes. Have you tried to buy eggs lately?
I just saw a post from somebody. They said, I paid $7 for a dozen eggs.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, you know, we buy over at Costco.
Right.
And we like to buy the organic eggs.
And so they're like, what, you get 6.5 dozen or something?
You get 5 dozen.
5 dozen.
And they used to be, for the organics, about $11. Now I believe that they're nearly $19.
Wow.
Yes. So that's what debasement of our currency looks like. Things that are the same. I don't think chickens and egg laying has changed.
I was going to say something really smart,
but
no.
These are organic eggs, so they're still out there foraging. You know, these are free-range chickens.
Yeah,
it's
still
right?
the same amount of light
changed.
And darkness and
the
all that.
The only thing that's changed is the cost, and it's because the value of the dollar does not buy as much good and services as
no.
it used to.
No way. All right, so moving along, the one thing that is especially difficult to accept for most people and sets Bitcoin apart from the rest is it all works without anyone in charge.
So let's think about the big thing. I think that this might be one of the reasons why banks have issues with Bitcoin.
Because they can't be in charge.
Correct.
You are in charge. They're not.
And also, governments who wish to keep track of you to monitor your
what you're
activities.
Doing, how many eggs you bought this week.
Right. They have issues with this as well.
Right. One thing, too, is it's not an opinion.
Right. It's fact.
Yes.
And as Der Gigi goes ahead and says, Bitcoin is best understood as a force of nature, like the coming and going of the tide, like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. You can have an opinion on it, but your opinion doesn't have any influence on the phenomenon whatsoever.
And it will produce a new block every 10 minutes. Tick tock, next block. I like that saying, tick tock, next block.
I'm going to kind of move on because this is
there is a lot to it. Yeah,
stuff here.
Where do we want to jump to go more on the Bitcoin information?
I think one of this is how about on going over to page 3, Bitcoin and crypto could not be more
different. Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good
Bitcoin spot. Removes seniorage. And what seniorage is, it's the gap between the printing cost of banknotes and their face value. So altcoins, as we call shitcoins, reintroduce seniorage.
Okay. Bitcoins removes the Cantillon effect.
Mm-hmm.
A Cantillon effect is a change in relative prices resulting from a change in the money supply. Hint, hint, eggs. It is the uninvent expansion of the amount of money.
Correct. So, shitcoins reintroduce the Cantillon effect.
And just so you know, we're not making that word up. That's really what they're
it's
called.
Used in the industry.
Yes.
Yes.
Bitcoin removes trust.
And shitcoins why do I get to that word?
Okay. Shitcoin reintroduces trust, as do centralized financial services. Motivated by fiat thinking.
So the whole idea about removing trust is, do you trust your banker? Do you trust some of the governmental entities that we have to report our everyday activities to? Do you trust just maybe your neighbor with the information, your very important information? Probably not. Not
right.
100%. Probably not your banker at all.
Probably not. And I'm glad you brought up that point, because when I first heard this, when we started to get into Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and stuff, and it says removes trust, and I thought, well, why would you want to remove trust? It's not what a lot of people at first think it is. Like you say, trust in your bank, trust in the government. It's not like trust like we between two people.
Well, let's give an example. You bring your car over to my house and say, hey, Christy, can you keep an eye on my car? And I say, yeah, I'll take good care of it, put it in
right.
the garage and all that. But as soon as you leave, I'm out loaning it out to somebody else, and I'm collecting some rent on it.
So okay. You gave it to the Uber driver next
right.
door.
And then it comes back, and I'm going, I'm glad it's in great shape.
Yeah, no dents on this side.
And then I do it again, right? You don't know. When you go in, the bankers have destroyed the trust of the people once they start it with the fractionated lending.
Right.
And this is how long it's been going on. This has been going on for well over 100 years, if not longer.
If not longer.
So we can't trust them. And this is one of the premises why this even exists in the first place.
Right. And that goes back to being decentralized versus centralized.
Yes.
All right. So do we want to kind of hit on, is Bitcoin dead?
Yes.
You know, the markets, you know, we're seeing them up and down, the financial, you know. No, it's not dead. It also not a fad or suddenly useless or suddenly worthless. What happened with FTX is what always happens. People get complacent, people get greedy, and people fool themselves and others.
By layering trust on top of Bitcoin, you reintroduce central points of failure and systemic risk for any systems built on top of these central institutions, that is.
This, I'm sorry, has happened before, and it'll happen again. Time is a flat circle.
A centralized company failed, that is FTX.
Again, it is unclear how much of this failure was due to incompetence, how much due to malice, and how much due to fraud.
Well, I think it's all of it.
All of the above.
And throughout all of this, the Bitcoin network was unaffected. Tick-tock, next block, every 10 minutes.
Every 10 minutes. Again, people relied on trust.
And the rug was pulled.
Right. And, you know, you see this even in other markets like gold and silver.
Right.
It's the same principle behind the product.
So why don't we go, but what about the price? Didn't it crash?
Oh,
this is a very good point to make. My husband and I was having this conversation. So, yes, the price of Bitcoin did crash. And I'm on page 4, Linda. Just flip it over. And again, it will crash again and again
It
has in the past. And as of this writing, the Bitcoin price was $16,641. Today, just before we came on the show, it was $17,098.
But at one point, it was $65,000.
It was. And it crashed all the way down to $16,000. But the price is both important and unimportant. And here are the reasons why. Bitcoin needs to have a price so that the Bitcoin system can secure itself. Price is correlated to hash rate, which again, correlated with security or more accurately, settlement assurance.
It's also a good indicator of global adoption.
Now, this is huge. Mm-hmm. We usually use the dollar to measure the Bitcoin price because, as of this writing, the dollar is still the unit of account of this world.
Great
huge
point.
Distinction.
Yes.
Now, let's think about this. If you were in another country, you would be doing a USD conversion to that country's currency.
You would have to exchange your fiat money.
Correct.
Your American dollars for whatever their currency is in that country.
So, now that our currency is dying, and I do believe in the next few years, we're probably going to see two reserve currencies. We're going to see the BRICS nations, and you're probably still going to have the USD, but that's now two reserve currencies. So you're going to have some sort of conversion, right? So stick with me here on this. So why is this important? Is that once a currency dies, and fiat will die, our currencies have died in the past. It's going to happen again.
Yes, it's happened again and again. Yeah.
So Bitcoin will then be related to how many Bitcoin. How many Bitcoins does it cost to buy a house? How many Bitcoin to buy a car? How many Satoshis will it cost to buy a cup of coffee?
Right.
Everything will be measured in Satoshis and Bitcoin. And I do believe there might be how many XRP and how many...
There may be some other ones involved in that
but
formula.
But the dollar is eventually And I hope in our lifetime we get to see this, where it is completely off the table because it's not relevant anymore.
Right.
And so, yes, we use dollars to buy Bitcoin now, but in time, it's not relevant. It's going, there will be a revaluation. That's just the way the market works.
Right. And we're at the, when you say, you know, it has always died or we've always cycled, and we're past that cycling point compared to other periods of history with money.
Right.
You know, this should have happened well before now.
Yes, and we've been propping it up
for
a lot of reasons. And I think what happened in 2008, there was some calamities that was expected that didn't happen. And now we're going to probably be seeing it now because of the shutdown that we had with the pandemic and the $6 trillion that was printed and put into the economy and how it affected our supply chains.
And this is something that is known across the board that it is going to happen in all walks of life, no matter what level you are or what. This is a problem we know we're all going to face at some point.
Now, this is really important to go along with why the USD price is both important and unimportant, but to see how price is unimportant, let's ask some questions and answer them one by one. Did the Bitcoin supply change?
No.
Okay. Did the network stop?
No.
Can you still send Satoshis to anyone without having to ask for permission?
Yes.
Do holders still hold the same amount of Bitcoin?
Yes. That doesn't change.
Can you still easily and cheaply verify all of the above?
Yes.
And from the point of view of the Bitcoin network, nothing changed. Isn't that mind-blowing?
When you stop and think about it and you ask those kind of questions, yes.
See, we have to make a paradigm shift. And this is why it's so painful to be going through this, because our paradigm does have to shift. We're so benefited by having a reserve currency. We don't have to make these exchanges. But if you're in other countries, you do have to
make exchanges.
And so we need to keep this in our mind, is that if you had Bitcoin prior to FTX, you still have Bitcoin now. Unless you didn't own it yourself. And when I say you didn't custody it, if it was in the possession of some exchange,
right.
Which, by the way, if you are on an exchange, not your keys, not your coins, you need to get them off of the exchanges, ASAP.
Yeah, all exchanges right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you make a good point regarding any asset like Bitcoin, gold and silver. You want to be the one that has custody of that asset.
Let's see, what else is here? Without a central issuer, Bitcoin had and still has to grow organically in value, distribution, and security, which is why many people, including us, believe that Bitcoin's history cannot be repeated, that a scarce digital commodity is path-dependent. So I'm just down at the bottom of the page we were on.
Mm.
Speaking of price, it helps to put things in broader context when talking about any price in the first place.
Normally, price is an exception of relationship, and thus any price depends on the unit you use to measure the said price.
So the economic lens that you use to see through the world with, that is what's worth noting.
Right. It is worth noting, for example, that the U.S. dollar M2 money supply, M2 is a broader measure of the money supply than M1, which just includes cash and checking deposits, has expanded massively in the last couple of decades.
In the most recent expansion, over 30% was in large part due to the monetary response of the worldwide lockdowns.
In
so 30% increase started 2 years ago.
Yeah. So in other words, when measuring the value of things in the U.S. dollar, everything is distorted by at least 30%.
Okay. So we're coming up to the end of the show here.
Well, we hope that was good information for you guys out there to understand more about Bitcoin and the markets.
We could have gone on and on. So we just want to mention early bird ticketing for PacificBitcoin2023.com. If you'd like to get some tickets, let us know. We can help you out with that, or go to PacificBitcoin2023. And
really quick, thank you, everybody, for help at the Serviceman's Feast in Anderson yesterday. We love you all.
So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property.